waiting for the moving of the water. And the angel went down at a certain season into the pool and troubled the water. Whosoever then first, after the troubling of the water, stepped in was made whole of whatever sort of disease he had. And a certain man was there which had an infirmity 38 years. When Jesus saw him lay, he knew that he had been there now a long time in that case. He said unto him, Will thou be made whole? The impotent man answered him, Sir, I have no man when the water is troubled to put me into the pool. But while I am coming, another steppeth down before me. Jesus said unto him, Arise, take up thy bed, and walk. And immediately the man was made whole, and took up his bed, and walked. And on the same day was the Sabbath day. The Jews therefore said unto him that was cured, It is the seventh day. It is not lawful for thee to carry thy bed. He answered them, He that made me whole, this same said unto me, Take up thy bed and walk. Then asked they him, What man is that which saith unto thee, Take up thy bed and walk? And he said, And he that was healed, which not who it was, for Jesus had not conveyed himself away, and multitudes being in that place. Afterwards Jesus findeth him in the temple and said unto him, Behold, thou art made whole, sin no more, lest a worse thing come upon thee. The man departed and told the Jews that it was Jesus which had made him whole. Pray with me now that God will bless the service for us. Father, we thank you for this day that we have, for the opportunity to come before thee and thy people. I pray, God, to help us to receive the truth, to receive the message of what we have here. I pray, God, that we'll step out of the way, allow the Holy Spirit of God to work. God, convict hearts of sin, of righteousness, and of judgment. God, bring that sinner closer to thee that they get saved today. And God, help those who are saved to walk closer in thee every day. Lord, we love you. We thank you now. In Jesus Christ's name we pray. Amen. It's amazing here Jesus Christ asked a question. In verse 6, notice the question that Jesus Christ asked this man, Will thou be made whole? Will thou be made whole? That's the same question I'm going to ask you this morning. Will thou be made whole? Jesus didn't just say, Do you want to get rehabbed? He didn't just say, Do you want to quit a bad habit? Here Jesus Christ said, Will thou be made whole? This impotent man could not help himself. You say, Well, it pictures all those who are sick, who's in maybe in wheelchairs or who in the hospital beds or who's in the burn centers. But this man represents someone that's lost, undone without Jesus Christ for us this morning. You might be here lost. You might be undone. You might not never have been made whole in your life. And you said, What can Jesus Christ do for me? I can tell you, my friend, what he can do. He'll make you a new creature in Christ Jesus. He'll forgive your sins and wash you whiter than snow. The Bible asks a question here in verse 6. Will thou be made whole? The word whole means to be well, be complete, to be healthy, to be altogether, or to be healed. I want you to know, my friend, Adam and Eve sinned against God. And as they sinned against God, that sin entered into the bloodstream of every human being. The Bible says, Wherefore by one man sin entered into the world, and death by sin. So death passed upon all men, for all have sinned. Because of Adam and Eve's sin, we're all born as sinners. No one has ever taught me how to lie. I knew how to lie from the very start. No one ever told me how to cheat, how to steal. I knew that from the very beginning. But someone did have to teach me to do good, how to be right, how to say yes, sir, and no, sir, and yes, ma'am, and no, ma'am. I still believe it's good for young girls and young boys and teenagers to say yes, sir, no, sir, and yes, ma'am, to no, ma'am, to those who are older than them. Just showing a little bit of respect, I believe that's still good. But here Jesus Christ comes to this impotent man. He could not help himself. He could not help himself. He could not heal himself. He could not take care of himself. He was waiting beside the pool to get to be healed. I don't understand everything that's going on here, but I know once a year an angel from God would come down and trouble the water. And this pool, I believe, could represent the church house. And oh, how we need an angel from heaven to come and disturb the church house just a little bit. How we need the moving of the water to take place in the church house. How we need the Holy Spirit of God to come and breathe upon the services and breathe upon the preacher and breathe upon the members of Open Door, my friend, to get us stirred up for him. But this impotent man, the Bible said he lay there for 38 years. He's laid there beside the water waiting to get get healed, waiting to get help, waiting for someone to come by and rescue him from a life of disaster and a life of damnation. And my friend, the Bible says here the angel would come down and disturb the water, and as he was trying to make his way to the water, another one would step in before him and get the healing and get the blessing and get something from God. I'm going to tell you, my friend, here today, if you need something from God, I sure wouldn't let somebody stand in my way and get theirs before you get yours, my friend. Hey, I sure wouldn't step back and allow someone else to praise God in my part, my friend. The Bible says if we don't cry out and praise God, that He'll make the rocks get up and praise Him. I don't know about you, but I don't want no stinking rock to be praising my Savior to take my place. Hey, I wouldn't wait until someone else get on board. Hey, my friend, if you have a need from God, if you have a trouble, I wouldn't wait for someone else. I would just bring it yourself to Jesus Christ. Hey, my friend, during the time of this message, if you know you need to be saved, don't wait for the invitation. Hey, don't wait till we pray "Just as I Am" with that one plea that that blood was shed for me. I would just come to the altar right now and give your life to Jesus Christ. Hey, if you got a problem and burden in your life, you don't have to wait till the invitation. You don't have to wait till you go home. The altar's always open for those who's wanting to come to Jesus Christ and get some help from Him. This man here, he was impotent. He couldn't help himself. And as he was going down to the pool, another one would step in and receive the blessing from God. It's interesting here, the man said, "When the water's troubled, I have no man to help me. I have no man to care for me. I have no man to help me into the water." I want to point out about four things real quick this morning. I want my friend to mention to you his weakness. Look here, if you would, in verse 5, we're speaking about this man as a type of a sinner who's lost without Jesus Christ on his way to a devil's hell. The Bible says that a certain man was there which had an infirmity 38 years. This infirmity means something was wrong with him. I'm going to tell you, my friend, all those who are lost without Jesus Christ, there's something wrong with them. My friend, you say, is it the drugs? You say, is it the beer? You say, is it the cursing? Is it the lying? Is it the adultery? Is it the fornication? Is it the lying tongue? Is it the deceitful heart? I'm going to tell you, my friend, what's wrong with them is the same thing that was wrong with us. It's sin, my friend. Hey, sin has corrupted man. Hey, sin has put a damnation on man. Hey, sin is going to send people to hell. This man had an infirmity. He had something wrong with him. And it was just an old sinful nature. But we've all been there. We've all been there today. You might be there today. The Bible says that such were some of you. The Bible says some was an adulteress and fornicators and liars and stealers and thieves and all kind of awful things. And the Bible says, "And such were some of you, but now you are washed, and now you are justified, and now you are sanctified." The only thing difference between me and a drunk, my friend, is Jesus Christ was living on the inside. The only thing difference between you and a woman who walks the streets at night selling her body to pay the light bill and pay her rent is the blood of Jesus Christ has forgiven of your sins, and the Holy Spirit of God has moved in and made a difference in your heart and life. The only thing difference between us and the people, my friend, that we put our pious nose up and say we're better than them. The only thing difference between us and them is Jesus Christ and His righteousness. The only thing we can claim today is the Son of God. His name is Jesus Christ. Here, this man couldn't help himself. He had an infirmity. Notice here, if you would, in verse 6, the Bible says Jesus saw him lay and knew that he had been there now a long time. In that case, I'll tell you something else was wrong with this man. He was there a long time. He was laying there a long time. He was laying there a long time, my friend. He was hopeless. I don't know if you understand what's going on, but this man, he was hopeless. He couldn't get up out of bed. He couldn't come to church if he wanted to. He couldn't come to church because he felt like an outcast, because he felt like a hypocrite, because he felt like he was unworthy, because he felt like he was the lowest sinner in the world. And my friend, he just lay there waiting for someone to come help him, waiting for someone to care, but he could not help himself. He had an infirmity. He was there for 38 years. Could you imagine these people? Has been living in sin for so long, they believe that's the only life they're ever going to have. We visited some folks yesterday that was drinking and doing all that sinners are supposed to do, and he said, "This is the best life I'm ever going to have." He said, "The only enjoyment I have is turning this beer up to my face and drinking this beer down that I can get a little bit of joy, a little bit of peace, a little bit of happiness." He said, "The best joy I can ever have, the best life I can ever have is the life I've got right now." I want to tell you, my friend, the best life anyone can ever have is the life that Jesus Christ will give them. This man's weakness He had an infirmity. He was laying down, hopeless. He was there a long time. And I want you to notice this in verse 7. What was wrong with this man? The Bible says here in verse 7, the impotent man answered him, said, "Sir, I have no man when the water is troubled to put me into the pool. But while I am coming, another steppeth down before me." You know what's wrong with this man? Oh, he is lost in his sins on the way to a devil's hell. Couldn't help himself. Probably one of the lowest men you could ever meet. If you pass him on the street corner, you'll turn the other way. Just to not even look at him. You know what was wrong with this man? He says here in verse 7, "No man cares for me." You know what's wrong with the world today? You say, preachers, all the pornography. You say, preachers, the internet. Preachers, the TV. Preachers, all the beer, the booze, the liquor, the drugs, the alcohol. All the immorality. You say, preacher, all that stuff is wrong with the world. I'm going to tell you what's wrong with the world, beloved. Hey, let's just get down where the rubber meets the road. I'm going to tell you what's wrong with the world. It's us that claims ourselves to be Christians and not living for God Monday through Saturday. It's us who claims the name of Christ, who don't give 2 cents about our neighbors, who's lost in a drunk stupor, who's going to die and bust hell wide open. The Bible says this man had an infirmity, that he was there for a long time, that he could not help himself. But I believe the greatest thing of all, this man had a problem because no one cared for him. Thank God someone cared for me. Old 22-year-old punk who was up to no good all the time, who deserved to die and go to hell. But thank God, hey, thank God that bus cared for us to come by and pick us up. And thank God that bus come by and picked our children up to bring them to the church house. Hey, thank God someone come to our house and visit us and told us the gospel. Hey, my friend, what's wrong with the world? It's us Christians who's turned our nose up at other people because they don't meet our standards of living, because they don't look like us, and because they don't dress like us, and because they don't act like us, and because they're just not as good as us. What's wrong with America? It's us that claims the name of Christ, who calls ourselves Christians, who don't care if the world dies and go to hell. That's what's wrong. This man had a weakness. You know what his weakness was? You say, preacher, it's his infirmity. He had a problem, like all of us has. He's been there a long time. Well, he's been there 38 years, just waiting. He couldn't help himself. He just lay there. Every day, lay there. I don't know about you, my friend. I don't mind helping people, but when a man's just too lazy to work, I don't have no compassion for helping that man. Hey, we went to a house the other day, and a man said, "Can you pay my light bill?" Hey, there's four adults there and one person, one little teenager. Them four adults, my friend, just sits there and suck on their booze and watch TV all day. Hey, I don't have no compassion for paying someone's light bill that's just lazy and no good for nothing. Don't have to work, my friend. They mooch it off the government and calling every church in the world to try to get some support to pay their cable bill and buy their cigarettes and buy their booze. Hey, my friend, I want them to get saved. I want their lives to change. Hey, my friend, what's wrong with this man? Us that names the name of Christ as our Heavenly Father, but we don't care enough to go to their place of business. We don't care enough to go to their houses. We don't care enough to tell their children that there's hope for mom and daddy if they just give their life to Jesus Christ. You got a pen or player today. Hey, you got Bianca here today. You got Justin and Brandon here today. You know why you got them here? Because you care enough for them to go get them. Boy, it costs a little bit of gas to ride them buses. It costs a little bit of gas. We put $50 in a bus this morning. Hey, we're going to drive it all out, burn it all out. But what's a man's soul worth? Is it worth $50 a month in gas? I believe it is. Is it worth a little bit of shoe leather on the road? I believe it is. Hey, the Bible says he had a weakness. And I believe his greatest weakness was in verse 7, where no man cared for him. But I want you to know what Jesus Christ said about his wholeness. Look here in verse 6. The Bible says that Jesus said, saw him lie and knew that he had been there now a long time in that case, and said unto him, "Will thou be made whole?" Here, Jesus Christ just didn't want to put a pair of shoes on him. Jesus Christ just didn't want to slap a suit on him and put a King James Bible up under his hand and invite him to church and say, "Well, that's good enough." Hey, Jesus said, "You've got a problem, and your problem is sin, and you need to be saved." Hey, my friend, we can get people in our church. We can slap a good old King James Bible Bible up under their arms. We can put a pair of wingtip shoes on their feet and a brand new suit on their body. Hey, we can get them a good old haircut. Hey, we can teach them to sing the right songs and say the right words. But if they don't ever get saved, they're going to die and bust hell wide open. You say the greatest thing we need to do is help a person. The greatest thing you need to do is give the gospel to a lost and dying world and let God change their life. Boy, if I just got religion. You know what religion is? Religion is what the Catholics got. Religion is what Jehovah's Witnesses got. Religion is what the Mormons got. Religion is what all those other cults got that doesn't believe in the precious blood of Jesus Christ. You know what religion do? Religion will dress you up on the outside. Make you a pretty good citizen. Make you a pretty good mama, pretty good daddy. You know what salvation do? Salvation transform you from the inside out. Hey, it'll make you a God-fearing daddy. It'll make you a God-fearing mama. It'll make you a God-fearing husband, a God-fearing wife. Hey, my friend, there's a lot of difference in religion and salvation. Hey, thank God I got saved. I got salvation. I just didn't get a straighten up on the outside. I just didn't get a haircut and a brand new suit. I got the Holy Ghost on the inside. Hey, don't be afraid of the Holy Ghost now. He's still part of the Bible. He's still part of the Trinity. He still moves in the day you get saved. He moves in. And it starts exalting Christ. That's what changes your life. Here Jesus Christ said, "Without being made whole." You here today, you're lost and undone without Jesus. I'm going to ask you this question. Will you be made whole today? Will you trust in Jesus Christ today? Will you just forget about everything else you've ever tried and come and trust in Jesus? You can't try Jesus. He's not a pair of shoes you try on. If he fits, you keep them. He's not some Kool-Aid. If you like the flavor, you keep it. He's someone you trust in from the very day you get saved until you take your last breath. He's someone you look to every day and say, "Dear God in heaven, help me to live the Christian life today." Here, my friend, I want you to notice what Jesus Christ said to him in verse 8. The Bible says, Jesus said to him, "Rise and take up thy bed and walk." Here Jesus said, "Rise." This man, he couldn't help himself. He was hopeless, undone without Jesus Christ. But as soon as Jesus Christ said, "Hey, will thou be made whole?" I reckon something just ticked in his heart. Something just started clicking in his heart. He said, "I believe I can trust in Jesus. I believe what he's done for others he can do for me. I believe the Son of God died on a rugged cross and shed his precious blood that I can be saved. If you'll just trust in Jesus today, look unto Jesus and be ye saved, all the ends of the earth. For there is no other God beside him." Hey, look to Jesus today and trust in Jesus today and he'll make you whole. This man got up off the bed that he laid on for 38 years. You know what Jesus Christ would do? He'd get you out of them hell holes that you used to go to. You know what Jesus Christ would do? Jesus Christ would take that same hand that used to hold a Bud Dumber. He'd help you hold a King James Bible. Hey, that mouth, you used to sing that country music and then rap music and that hip-hop music. Hey, he'll change your mouth so you can start singing "How Great Thou Art" and "Victory in Jesus." And what can wash away my sins? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. Amen. You know what Jesus Christ will do? He'll get you up out of the place you was in and put you in a brand new place. If you keep on reading on, let's read this here. I want to show you. Boy, it's good. It's good. Look here in verse 14. He was laying on the bed. In verse 14, let's notice where he went to. Afterwards, Jesus findeth him in the, what's that word, church? Temple. I believe the temple is a place of the church house. Hey, you get saved by God's grace. I believe a born again, certified, hey, heaven bound Christian. I believe you can't keep them out of the church house. I believe you can't lock the doors and keep them out of God's house. I believe you get a person to fall in love with God. Hey, he wants to be around God's people. He wants to be around God's man. He wants to be in God's house. He wants to be wherever Jesus Christ is. I'm going to tell you something, my friend. If Jesus Christ would meet with us in the cornfield, I would gladly go to the cornfield and wait there for Jesus. But thank God he's given us a nice building, a little bit of AC, them nice lumbar seats that's so easy to fall asleep in. He's given us this nice red carpet. He's given us a wonderful place to meet him in, my friend. And he'll meet with you here. He said, "Where two or three are gathered together in his name, there he'll be in the midst." I'm going to tell you something. He said, "Where two or three are gathered together in his name, there he'll be in the midst." If you're saved, you're one. The Holy Ghost is two. Jesus Christ said, "Where two or three are gathered." Hey, you've got a promise. If you come to church to hear from heaven that Jesus Christ will meet with you and will help you out of your Christian life.
I don't know about you, I'm getting some help right now. I'm getting some help just by looking at you. I'm getting some help. Hey, every once in a while you nod your head. I like it. Hey, throw your hands up. Say, glory to God. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Amen. I just love it. Hey, sink, swim, or drown. Hey, get fat or die skinny. I just love being around Jesus Christ. Amen. Here, my friend, he got saved. We will get back to it in a minute. He used to lay on a little army cot. He couldn't help himself, Brother Jeff. When Jesus Christ spoke to him and changed his life, he started going to the church house. Boy, he wanted to be around the church people. He wanted to be in God's house. Notice what here. Here Jesus said, will thou be made whole? The man said, yes, yes. Here Jesus said, rise, take up thy bed and walk. Hey, Jesus takes you from where you was and places you and someone new. And notice this, if you would, in verse 9. And immediately, the man was made whole and took up his bed and walked. And on the same day was the Sabbath day. Here this man trusted in the Lord Jesus Christ. He got saved. Jesus Christ said, hey, take up your bed. Hey, get out of the same place you've been in and go to the temple. Hey, this man went to the temple. Hey, the Bible says immediately, hey, instantaneously, hey, right at the very second, I believe when you trust in Jesus Christ as your Savior, you get saved right then. I don't believe it's a probation period where you got to wait a year or two. And if you do everything right, Jesus Christ moves in then. I believe as soon as a sinner bows his unworthy head and confesses sin to God and say, God, I'm a guilty sinner who should die and go to a devil's hell, but today I will repent of my sin and trust in Jesus Christ. Hey, I believe right there, Jesus Christ borns that man, borns that woman into the family of God. I told a man the other day, hey, nobody got those stones or rocks, do you? All right. I told a man the other day I got saved. I said, when I first got saved, I didn't do everything right that day or that week or that month. Probably not even that year. He go play him a little garden outside. I talked to him. I said, sir, have you ever took a little grain of a corn seed, and put it in the ground, cover it up, put some water on it, and then go out the very next day and you got a corn stalk with two ears of corn on it? He said, no. I ain't ever done that. I said, you get saved by God's grace. God plants you to the family and births into the family and puts that Holy Ghost within you. Hey, you're not going to live perfect. Hey, we get our eyes on the sin that other people's doing, and we get our eyes off ourselves. But you know what salvation will do? It will make you want to live better. Hey, we're not going to live perfect. Hey, I get upset. I get angry. I get mad. If you'll tell the Holy Ghost truth, so do you. Boy, I get upset at some of you. I can just wring your necks like a chicken. Hey, I get so aggravated sometimes. I want to go to your house and burn your house down. Hey, sometimes, not really, I don't want to burn your house down, but I do want you to come to church. I do want you to be part of this. I do want you to get on board. But sometimes I get so ill, I get so aggravated, I get so upset because I got this old stinking flesh. And so do you. I've not arrived. And neither have you. You probably don't want anybody to go back in the last past year and pull up everything you've ever done wrong, do you? I know I don't want you to do me like that. My friend, we should be working together on this. But the Bible says when this man got saved, he immediately, something took place immediately. Hey, Brother Jeff, the day I got saved, I started hating sin that very moment. I still sinned, but I hated it. I still told lies, but I hated it. But I still got angry, but I hated it. You know how to tell if you're saved or not? Hey, if you can sin and enjoy it, something's wrong with your salvation, friend. Hey, if you can go to the wrong place and have a good time and not the Holy Spirit of God pricks your heart, hey, something's wrong, my friend. Hey, if you can watch all that filthy junk on TV and hear all that cursing on TV and it doesn't grieve and quench you on the inside, hey, something's wrong, my friend. This man here, immediately, something took place. Not only his weakness, not only his holiness, but let's look at his walk in verse 8. Jesus said to him, rise, take up thy bed, and walk. This man was there for 38 years. He's never walked in his 38 years, but now he's starting to walk right. The Bible says in Ephesians chapter 2, we walk according to the course of this world. Brother David, there's one day I was walking and just serving the devil, having a good old time living for him, dying and going to hell. But Jesus Christ come and saved my unworthy soul and changed my life. And I done an about face and started walking for Jesus. Hey, I've never looked back and wished I could go back and live in the world. I never wanted to go back and live for the devil. I never wanted to go back and be who I used to be. Hey, my friend, this man here, he got saved. He got up off of his bed and started walking. He's never walked before. Some of you today, you've been saved. You got saved. You got saved the past week, past month, past year. You know what these old Pharisees says? These old Pharisees who's been in the church house too long, who's been there too long, they never gotten saved, but they've been in the church house too long. You know what they said to them, Brother Jeff? Hey, it's not right for you to take your bed and carry it on Sunday. Carry it on the Sabbath day. I know the Sabbath day was Saturday for them. I'm just going to illustrate on Sunday. Hey, they said you just got saved. It's not right for you to be doing that. Hey, it's not right for you to be doing that. Hey, it's not right. Hey, they look at every problem they got but themselves, my friend. Hey, you got some people, I'm going to tell you, we've got some people who's just got saved. Mr. Bill's going to get baptized today. Hey, Lizzie's going to get baptized today. Hey, Brittany and Jonathan just got saved. We've got some church members that's going to find every fault in their lives and try to point it out when they need to be looking at their own selves and saying, woe is me because I'm undone. I'm a man with unclean lips who dwells in the midst of unclean people. These Pharisees, they didn't say, hey, I'm glad you got in. I'm glad you got saved. I'm glad you're born again. I'm glad you're redeemed. I'm glad you're one of God's children. They say, hey, it's not right for you to be tucking your bed on Sunday. It's not right. Boy, it ain't right for all these snotty-nosed children to be in church, is it? Boy, they shake their cord bowls all the time and make a mess on the pew. And you go over there, boy, they spill their Kool-Aid in the children's church and throw their trash on the floor. I tell you what, if we just get rid of these bus children, it'd be all right. We have a clean church. Hey, if we get rid of some of these visitors that come on Sunday morning, we can have a better church. Hey, fool, we don't know that, my friend. Hey, let's get them in. Hey, let's get them in. Hey, let's get them in. Hey, my friend, this morning we had a fellow sitting outside smoking a cigarette right at the double doors. I'm glad people smoking a cigarette at the double doors because that's the one that needs help. That's the one that needs the gospel. That's the one, my friend, that needs to come to this church and hear the word of God. Allow God to change their hearts and life, my friend. Now, I didn't mention to them to move. Don't want that stuff coming in church. Don't want the children seeing it. Thank God we got a place sinners can come and get some help. Thank God we got a place to come. You don't have to have the three-piece suit on to come here and get help from God. Hey, thank God you don't have to have a $70,000, $80,000 income to fit in an open door. Thank God you can be a snotty-nosed child and fit right in. Or you could be the mayor of South Carolina, mayor of Mullins, mayor of Marion, and fit right in. Thank God God's given us a place here. Red, yellow, black, or white. I don't care if you're green. If you want to come here for Jesus, you're all right with me. Just come on and get on in and serve the Lord. I like it. You lump it, but I like it. Here the man walked right. Here in verse 14, the Bible says he was found in the temple. And look here at verse 15, that's what the Bible says. The man departed and told the Jews that it was Jesus which made him whole. This man got saved. This man started going to the church house. Hey, amen. I believe that's good, don't y'all? Hey, let's hold on for a minute. Hey, on the left-hand side, if you believe it's good for a man and a woman to get saved to go to the church house, say amen. Hey, here in the middle, if you believe it's right for a man to get saved, a woman to get saved, and come to the church house, say amen. How about you on the right-hand side? You believe it's right for a man to get Holy Ghost saved? He should be in a church that preaches the Word of God. Hey, say amen. Amen. All of us believe the same thing. Some of us believe it more than others, but that's all right. Hey, this man got saved. He started coming to the church house, and notice what it says here in verse 15. He started telling the others who Jesus Christ was and what Jesus Christ has done for him. The Bible says here, if you would, in verse 15, then the man departed and told the Jews that it was Jesus which had made him whole. Hey, you get saved by God's grace. Hey, the Bible says he does forgive him much and love as much. If God saved your unworthy soul, like God saved my unworthy soul, you want to tell everybody, the devil, how much you love Jesus. Because I know who I was. I know what I was. I know where I was. I know where I should be. But Jesus Christ saved me from all that and changed my life. I ain't got no other choice but to tell others about him, because he could do the same thing for them that he's done for me. I want to show you this, verse 14. Not only his weakness, his holiness, his walk, but his warning. Verse 14. Afterwards, Jesus findeth him in the temple and said unto him, behold, thou art made whole. Sin no more, lest a worse thing come upon thee. Here's what the Lord Jesus Christ said to this man in the church house. He said, "Buddy, you've trusted in me for salvation. I saved your unworthy soul from hell. You've been born again. You're made one of God's children. I'm glad you're in the church house, but here's what I'm going to tell you. Don't sin no more. Don't sin no more." I said, "Now that's a contradiction on it. We're not perfect. We're not sinless. We've got this old flesh. We still got two natures, old nature and new nature. Old man's a new man. Hey, we still got this sinful flesh to contend with, but we've got the Holy Ghost of God living inside of us." And here Jesus Christ said, "Hey, don't sin no more. Don't sin no more." I got a story I'm going to tell you about two dogs. One was a white dog, one was a black dog. This man brought these two dogs to town, and he said, "I'm going to fight these two dogs, and we're going to take bets." Some people bet on the black dog. Some people bet on the white dog. He fought the dogs. The white dog won, so he gathered some money. Very next week, he said, "I'm going to fight the dogs again." So because the white dog won, everybody betted on the white dog, but this time the black dog won. He said, "Next week, we're going to fight them again." So they come back, and everybody bet on the black dog, but the white dog won. And pretty soon, someone come up to him and said, "Sir," he said, "how do you know which one's going to win? We always lose our money. How do you know which dog's going to win?" He said, "I'm going to tell you, I know which dog's going to win because that's the one I feed the most." Hey, if you feed your old stinking flesh the most, you're not going to live for Jesus Christ. You're going to live for the devil. You will sin. But if you feed the spiritual man, if you read your Bible, get on your knees in prayer and stay in the church house, keep your eyes off that filthy TV, keep your ears covered from that old hellacious music, my friend. Hey, put your eyes on the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Then you can start living for Him. And you don't have to worry about sinning because you're looking at Jesus all the time. Whoever you feed the most, that's who's going to win. You'll come to church. I'm not knocking anybody. I love you today. I love you. I love you enough to say this. You come to church on Sunday morning, it's going to be hard to live the Christian life that God wants you to have. I'm not saying you can't be a Christian. I'm not saying you can't live for the Lord. But I'm saying you cannot have the Christian life God wants you to have by just being a Sunday morning Christian. You need to be fed. You need to be around brothers and sisters in Christ. You need to get something that you can't get from the world to be the Christian that God has saved you to be. My friend, whether you know it or not, I need you. And you need us. And we need to be here. Jesus Christ gave us a warning. He said, "Don't sin no more, lest a worse thing come upon you." You know what we could say, Brother Jeff? We could say, "Well, if we continue to sin, God's going to kill us." There's something worse than death. It's living the rest of your days without the joy of the Lord. It's living the rest of your days without being happy in Jesus. And it's living the rest of your days without hearing from heaven. I've heard from heaven. I've not heard some audible voice. But I know as the man of God preached that Jesus Christ was speaking to me. And my friend, I would be miserable if I had to go the rest of my life without that. I'd be miserable if I had to go the rest of my life without the joy that only Jesus Christ can give. I'd be miserable if I go the rest of my life without the happiness that only God can provide. He said, "You keep on sinning. You keep on doing what you know is not right to do." He said, "There's a worse thing. A worse thing can come upon you. And it might be death. God chastised those He loved." I remember when I was a young boy, Mama whipped me till I thought I was going to die. Boy, Daddy whipped me till I thought I was going to die. Hey, it's helped. You do what you want, but it's helped me. But you imagine God chastising you. And I said, "I won't give you no more joy. I won't give you no more peace. I won't give you another song in your heart." The other day, I closed with this. Yesterday, I was putting together those door hanger bags. You just started singing a song. "Little as much when God is in it. Labor not for wealth or fame." You know what happened? Heard somebody else started singing. Heard somebody else started humming. But just had a song on the inside that just was ready to come out. Can you imagine leaving your life without a song? Imagine leaving your life without a smile. I'm telling you, my friend, we need to get serious about Jesus Christ and living for Him. Because it'd be terrible to live the rest of your life and not have what God wants you to have. If you're lost today, the greatest thing I can tell you is to give your life to Jesus Christ. You say, "How to do that, preacher? Just come and ask Him to save you." Repent of your sins. He'll save you today. He said, I can't remember all my sins. I can't remember all the lies I've told you. You don't have to. Just come today and tell God you're a sinner and that you want Him to save you. The Bible said He will. If you're a Christian today, I want you to determine today on April the 10th, I'm going to live for Jesus. I'm going to be just a sold out, dedicated Christian for Jesus Christ. If you would, stand with me. I want you to pray with me here in just a few minutes. If you would, have your head bowed and your eyes closed. The pianist is coming to play. Your head bowed and your eyes closed. Let me ask you this. Will there be one in here that will be willing to lift your hands and say, Preacher Scott, pray for me. I'm lost, undone without Jesus, and I need to be saved. Preacher, all I want you to do is just pray for me. Would there be one like that? Be willing to lift your hand and say, Preacher, you pray for me. I'm lost. I've never been saved. I need your prayers. I see that hand. God bless you. Is there another? Preacher, you pray for me. I see that hand. God bless you. Preacher, I'm lost. I need to be saved. I need to be saved. You pray for me. Is there another? Is there another? All right. How about you, Christian? How about you? Would you just trust in the Lord today to help you with your life? Father God, we thank you for your great love wherewith you loved us. I pray, God, today for the invitation as the music begins. For God, as soon as the music begins, will those who need to be saved, will they come forward and trust in Jesus Christ as their Savior? God, I pray for them, God, that you'll help them to repent of their sin. God, to place their faith and trust and confidence in everything they've got in the Son of God, which is Jesus Christ. Lord, I know you'll save them. If they're sincere, if they're serious, you'll save them. God, you'll get the job done. I pray for us that are saved. God, help us to live like it. Help us to be the Christians that you saved us to be, that we can glorify you. Lord, I thank and I love you. I pray, God, you'll help us now. In Jesus Christ's name, I pray. If you'll keep your head bowed and your eyes closed, the invitation begins. The altar is open for you this morning. If you know you need to be saved, I want you to come forward this morning. Brother Jeff's got the Bible. He'll take the Bible and show you how to be saved if you'll just come to trust in Jesus Christ. How about you, Christian? You live for Jesus? If not, I'll find a place on this altar and ask God to help you this morning. Ask God to help you this morning. Maybe you've got a husband. Maybe you've got a wife. Maybe you've got a son or a daughter that you need to pray for this morning. Won't you come on and find your way? Won't you come on and find your way and let God help you this morning? If you're on this altar, you want somebody to pray with you. Hey, won't you just lift your hand? Or won't you go get somebody out in the congregation and let them help you this morning by praying for them? Hey, by praying with you. Hey, my friend, don't try to do it by yourself. Hey, stay involved. Hey, let others help you this morning. Hey, you need to be saved. You come on. You come on and trust in Jesus this morning. You come on and trust in Jesus this morning. He'll save you this morning. He'll save you this morning. If you'll just place your faith in Him, He'll save you. He'll save you. Just trust in Jesus. Just trust in Jesus.